Hello, Rachel.
Hello, Philip. It's been a while.
It has been a while. You talking to me has been off the air for some time for various reasons. This is kind of the pre-chat before the episode, but the episode itself is also just a chat. So I guess everything will become apparent during the episode, but we've been thinking a lot about what happened, obviously, October the 7th. Yesterday, I was in town for the Israel Solidarity Rally to mark 100 days since the hostages were taken. And I mention that now because during the episode, I make a point of the fact that I've not been to any rallies this conflict for various security safety reasons. But yesterday was one I felt A, I was able to get to, but B, I really felt passionately about, because it does feel that with all the arguments about the conflict, human rights, everything that's being bandied around, all the key words we're hearing, it does seem that sometimes the hostages get lost in the conversation. So yesterday it was important for me to be there. But interesting thinking about it, because we recorded what you're about to hear a couple of days ago. I sort of contradict myself by actually going to the rally.
I unfortunately wasn't able to go because I wasn't well, but it looked tremendous. I think at the moment, people are looking for opportunities to come together and support each other, even if you have mixed feelings about the detail of everything. You just want to be with people who understand and get it. And that's one of the reasons why we decided the time had come to bring back Jew Talking to Me. We had recorded episodes which we put on pause and on hold when we felt people weren't quite ready. And we weren't probably quite ready because, we also have family in Israel. But now I think people are looking for ways of feeling connected to Jews. And if there's one thing that we can display, it's a variety of Jews.
Unfortunately, one of the Jews we are not able to display yet is the wonderful Andy Nyman, because we did a live recording with him at the London Podcast Festival, but there was a technical issue on the day, which meant that our recording did not survive. I think there were other podcasts that had similar sorts of problems, but our recording was completely unusable. So we weren't able to bring you that really lovely episode. However, Andy is a mensch and he has agreed, volunteered, in fact, to re-record the episode. So we will sit down with him at some point and bring you the episode when we can.
He was absolutely brilliant and the audience really enjoyed it. So you've got something great to look forward to.
And we get to do it again.
Although I gave him a Rosh Hashanah present, that's how long ago it was. I gave him a honey cake at the end of the live recording. And I think it would be really complicated to try and get him another honey cake or whatever festival it will be by then. What's coming up next? Purim. I'll get him a Hamantaschen.
So I'm not saying we recorded this a long time ago, but since recording it, it has become 5784 and 2024. But we'll bring that episode to you shortly. In the meantime, the new episodes that we have already recorded will be coming out to you in the next week or so. So keep an eye on social media for that. But we hope you like and appreciate this kind of holding episode that we're putting out, not least for the fact that we invited Russell on. Russell is our producer, who often is just in the background during the shows. But here he was part of the show, and it meant we didn't really know how to start the episode. And fortunately, he was able to act as an adult and just take control. So thanks very much for joining us. And here's the episode.
Bye.
Welcome to Jew Talking to Me. I'm Russell Balkind. I'm the producer. You won't have really seen me before unless you've seen very specific episodes or attended our live recording.
I feel like we just got Dad to do the intro.
Yeah, I mean, please, we've discussed several times the reasons why you shouldn't call me Dad. That is fine. We've been away for a while because obvious reasons, but we're back now because it feels okay. It feels all right. And so here we are. I'm with Philip Simon and Rachel
Hello.
Krieger. They're the
Hello.
presenters. You'll recognize them. And look, let's not beat around the bush. We haven't brought out any episodes because of the events of October 7th and the sort of life after that date.
It's been a very odd few months for lots of reasons, but just because on October the 6th, my husband got suddenly taken very ill in an event that seemed like every episode of Casualty, because we had a big family dinner where everyone's having an amazing time, and it was to celebrate him being honoured by our synagogue, and he made a lovely speech. And at that point, that's where everyone watching it on telly would have gone, aye, aye, something's up. So he did his beautiful speech and then ends up in hospital where he had to have open heart surgery, and they found various other things wrong with him. Although now he's ironically healthier and looks fantastic, probably better than he has in years. So, you know, happy ending to that bit. But the journey from that day till today was quite hard. And obviously, October the 7th, I was on my phone watching events in Israel unfold in real time and trying to communicate with family members who need to know about Mark, and family members who I was checking were alive over there. So it's taken me some time to process and quite a bit of therapy, if I'm honest, to get to a point where I feel that it's okay to be chit-chatty, if that makes sense. But
yeah, but presumably also you were having to protect Mark from the news whilst watching him recover and dealing with doctors and dealing with family.
Like this period of time where their consultants were like, you can't let him know anything that's going on, like anything traumatic or whatever. And we were having all these sort of secret meetings, not in a Jews have secret meetings way, although actually, yeah, I suppose, because Jewish doctor. So it was trying to work out what's the right thing to do for him, what's the right thing to do for everyone else. And then what was kind of interesting to me is after he was at a point of his recovery where it felt okay to work, I had a few Jewish gigs and events booked in. And the feedback that I was getting from the organizers and from people who planning to attend was that British Jews wanted to get together to kind of commiserate, but they didn't want to have a laugh. I was supposed to have a big show one of the nights, and I was hearing from people anecdotally that they were saying, we want to buy a ticket, but we don't want to come. Or we want to buy a ticket, but we'll want to sit in the bar and just chat. Or we're going to buy a ticket, but we probably won't laugh. But the last couple of weeks, it's felt a shift for me that people are saying, let's do stuff, let's put stuff on and do it as fundraisers and do it as a supportive thing.
Presumably now they're coming to your show, but still not feeling like laughing. I think also something that happened was people, certainly in the UK on the comedy circuit, became very vocal in their support for one side or the other. It became a very binary conversation as to who was right and who was wrong. And that became very difficult as Jewish performers, Jewish people, because often you were having the conversation with someone who had no actual education beyond the Facebook posts that they've been sharing. So I found myself very much withdrawing from social media interactions with people because I was just so disheartened by what I was hearing and seeing online. And the thought of being in a green room with some of those people, and in some cases I have been in green rooms with those people, it's incredible how silent they are in person versus online. So that was something, another reason I guess we took a step back from everything.
I guess it's not been easy being Jewish in Britain in the last 3 months. I haven't experienced anything personally other than seeing what people who I previously respected and thought highly of have decided to share on their social media feeds. And in certain cases, I've called people out for posting stuff which I hope has just been ill thought through and happens to be carelessly anti-Semitic. But it has been really revealing to see what people think and the disdain with which they hold Zionism and the State of Israel, and then the slippery slope into what is essentially just anti-Semitism. I mean, just to give an example, as a parent, there's nothing I like to do more than to fill the time of a weekend between when my children wake up and when they go to sleep. Often it used to be taking the kids into London. And for many weekends in October and November and December, it was actually, you know what, we won't go into town because there's a pro-Palestinian rally and my kids are young, 9, 5 and 1. And obviously the little ones don't understand. The 9-year-old doesn't really understand what's happening other than there's fighting happening in Israel. But I didn't want to risk encountering that kind of hostile mob and see what they were shouting and have to explain what they meant, you know, and to meet, you know, go, actually, a lot of people don't like Jews and a lot of people don't like Israel. And my kids have a very hopeful, positive view of being Jewish and of Israel and want to visit and stuff. And it was, so it became, you know, in that way, my life was impacted. You know, luckily I haven't lost anybody. I haven't had anybody called up into the army. But yeah, it's certainly, other than the sort of tragic events of the 7th of October, I feel everything has changed.
I think it's interesting there when you say there are people that hate Jews and people that hate Israel. And for me, it's the fact that they are now connected. You know, most people I know hate the Israeli government and the actions of Netanyahu. Yet by being Jewish, it's like you are a representative of the Israeli people. And yeah, that was very difficult. When the UK and America invaded Iraq, they are Christian countries, but you didn't see every Christian being threatened or made to feel scared on the streets because there were people saying, put the Christians in the bin, wipe out the Christians. So it just feels very different. And then you think about things like Jews Don't Count, you know, David Baddiel's book, and how relevant some of that sadly is. This is the first time I've not gone to a peace rally. I've never been to a pro-Israel rally. I've only ever been to a peace rally. And I didn't go this time because I didn't feel safe doing so. I've got children now and it feels a bit, there's a bit more at stake, I guess, personally. But I didn't go because I didn't feel it was something I could safely do. Because the difference in the rallies that you're seeing, you know, no one in the pro-Israel rally, whatever you want to call it, no one's wearing masks, no one's climbing on statues and setting off fireworks. There's just a massive difference in how people are conducting themselves, and it feels fearful. And then you've got other people gaslighting anyone who claims that there is anything negative happening. So it just feels like a very difficult time to be Jewish, because I wasn't really talking about it much at the moment anyway on stage. But now I really look at the audience and think, do I want to go down that road? Is it worth it?
So that's really interesting to me, because, well, you know, like when I first started comedy, I didn't do Jewish stuff at all. And it was when I started doing Jewish stuff that things kind of took off for me. And then when all this happened, when I first had a few gigs back, I was kind of wondering, what do I do? Because my whole intro is introducing myself as a Jew. And then I thought, I'm just going to do my thing, because it's funny. It's jokes. It's not political. It references me and what I look like and my life. That's all there is to it. So I just did my normal set. And in the interval, these people from the audience came up to me and said, we're Jewish. We've been feeling so isolated. This is the first time we've been out, you know, since all this kicked off. We just felt we had to get out of the house, and we came to the pub and there was this going on, and we thought we'd come down. And when we saw you with your Star of David talking about your Jewishness, and you were just relaxed about it, it was just like a normal part of what you were saying. It made us feel less alone. And I just thought, well, that made me feel less alone. Do you know what I mean? So I just thought, well, I'm just going to do my thing now.
When I say I'm not talking about it in the moment, I've not taken chunks out of my set. I wasn't doing much Jewish material anyway, but I'm now not even thinking about dipping into it so much. I've seen some great comics who have been. Ian Stone, his opening line is funny time to be Jewish, and then does a lovely bit, which is harmless, about being Jewish at the moment and the situation. I think Joe Jacobs does loads. Josh Howie does quite a bit. And even, you know, he actively gets his Mug and David, his Star of David, out when he goes on stage. Mm-hmm. There are three former guests from our show. And they are three people, I think, who are doing exactly what they should be doing, which is just carrying on as normal, proudly talking about things they're talking about. But isn't it sad that we have to look at the circuit or look at audiences and clubs and go, is it okay?
It's really interesting. Just thinking about the editorial of the show and what goes into it, our first question often is, what kind of Jew are you? And I have been reminded of what Andy Nyman said in the Lost episode of Jew Talking to Me. We asked him, what kind of Jew are you? And he said, I am a proud Jew. I am a proud one. And I would say that I have felt more than ever to be a proud Jew recently. And whether that's being goaded into it because of what people have said to me, I'm lucky enough to work with a lot of people who are Jewish and who are forthright in their Judaism. And that can take any form. Do you know what I mean? I'm not more religious than I was, but I think I'm more open. Probably, I think I'm more willing to share my views and that kind of thing. And just to speak to Philip's point, what I've been surprised about, or what's become clear, is the assumptions that people make about us as Jews, which are unhelpful at best and dangerous at worst, which are, you're Jewish, so you support the Israeli government and you support what's happening to the Palestinian people in Gaza, and I don't. And I don't think many people do. And I think, you know, this isn't the forum for in-depth political discussion. Surprise, surprise. But it is that thing of, I used to get really angry about the assumption the other way from other Jews when I was growing up, where it used to be that you were expected as a Jew by other Jews to give full-throated support to Israel. And I used to go like, well, I'm not sure I can. And people, you were looked down upon for that. Certainly I was, or I felt I was.
I think Dave Rich from the CST said,
anti-Semitism is a light sleeper. And I've been really surprised at people who I know or people in the public eye just saying things that are just anti-Semitic and how triggered I have felt by those things. And I've never felt those things before in my life. I've lived in this country, Britain, the UK, since the mid-80s, and I just never felt less awkward as a Jew. I mean, I obviously feel very awkward all the time. That's my shtick. You know, there's just a creeping apprehension that I've never felt before. And I'm not sure it's going to go away anytime soon.
I've always been quite naive, I realize, because I'm one of these people that doesn't immediately go, oh, that's anti-Semitic, how dare they, to the point where even when we did Jewerama in Edinburgh one year and someone carved a swastika on the tabletop that was in the green room area or the backstage area, I was the one saying, yeah, but they did it outside of the show times and they might not have known because it was a nightclub, that maybe they were just drawing swastika because they draw swastikas. They didn't necessarily know there was a show on called Jewerama because the publicity was on the others. Whatever. I was that person desperately trying to go, no, maybe it's not anti-Semitic. But now I realize maybe I was just completely naive and everyone hates us. You know, my mum, she runs a girl guide company, and whenever they organize events on the Saturdays, she's like, well, we can't take our girls because it's a Jewish company, therefore they must be anti-Semitic.
For legal reasons, I have to point out that the girl guides don't hate Jews. They are bringing out a pickling badge, though, which is good, can work towards. I think it's really interesting. I think that's the David Baddiel point, though, isn't it? It's that Jews don't count. Nobody thinks about Jews having to attend stuff on Shabbat. I've been talking about with Jewish friends in TV about how we feel forgotten and how we've allowed ourselves to be forgotten over the years. And I myself, as a producer, have had to attend shoots on Saturdays, on Shabbat. You know, there's been stuff booked in on Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, and it's been incredibly difficult because of the sort of inherited desire to not want to rock the boat. I haven't said anything previously because I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that Jew who goes, by the way, you've booked something in on a Jewish festival. Can we please move the whole production, including the diaries of all of the executive producers and the highly paid talent, to another day so that I can go and pray to my God? And I haven't wanted to do it, but nor has anyone gone, is it okay? It's just been done.
When you talk about being forgotten, I was saying to Philip yesterday that I feel that every time I turn on the radio, whatever subject they're talking about, they bring it around to Jews. And I just don't want to be the subject of every single conversation on air at the moment. I find it really irritating that on the same day, I was listening to two different channels and there was a discussion about obesity, which brought in something to do with Gaza. There was one about the flooding going on in bits of England. And they said, well, the only people who experienced something similar, I suppose, are the Gazan civilians, or we're going to have a phone in to see what Jewish people should do about this, about what people think about Israel. There's so much going on in the world. And I'm not saying that this isn't important, that people shouldn't care. And people should care about civilians in any country who are experiencing traumatic events. That's important. And that's part of being human. But there's many traumatic events going on, and the absolute hyper focus in the UK on this one event and on Jews in the UK and our responses to it, and whether we're the right kind of Jew doing the right kind of response, it's absolutely exhausting.
I think, you know, there's no doubt that the news has to report on what's going on in Gaza and what's happening to the Palestinian people. But are we as Jews responsible for it? No.
I think one thing I did also want to touch on slightly was the Stephen Fry alternative Christmas message. If anyone's not watched it, it's worth going to watch. I believe it's on the Channel 4 website. Is that right?
Yeah, and YouTube, I think.
And YouTube. But it was a message of peace, a message of, come on, guys, give us a break. And one of the first things he says is, I am a Jew. And it's at that point you could hear years and years of fandom going, What?
He did it in such a genteel and respectful way and, you know, said there are horrible things going on we need to be sad about, but also this is what's happening to British Jews. And the reaction was, you didn't say enough about Gaza, it's disgusting, it says that, like, he just dealt with such horrible backlash and all he said was lovely stuff.
As a Jew, there's an inherent feeling that what is going on and what's being said around you, even if it's not to you, is worrying. Mm. Like when you see people sharing stuff that is just deeply wrong, it's AI, it's fake news, but it's getting traction. Or you just get the more insidious, like lazy anti-Semitism that's getting shared by people who you know, or by broadcasters, or by, you see it on platforms that you've previously felt comfortable on it. I think there is an impulse, irrespective of your level of religious adherence or whatever, to go, whoa, everyone just back the truck up. I'm Jewish and you're not being very nice or kind, and you're making this country, you're making this social media platform, you're making my life more uncomfortable. And I think that is, for me, is the thing. When he said, I'm Stephen Fry and I am a Jew, the producer in me was like, let's just do a campaign where you just say your name and you just go, I am a Jew.
There was a book, I Am Jewish, which is inspired by the last words of Daniel Pearl, who was a journalist who was murdered. And those were his final words. And in that book, they had passages written by a variety of Jews in the public eye. And the starting point would have been, I am Jewish, and then explained what that meant to them. So maybe there does need to be another campaign like that. Because going back to your point earlier about being a proud Jew, I'm sure there are a lot of Jews who are still just indifferent Jews. I'm probably one of them. I'm not sure that this has made me any more proud to be Jewish than I was on October the 6th. I'm more aware of my Judaism and more aware of my status in this society as a result of what I've seen. But it's not made me go to synagogue anymore. It's not made me light the candles anymore. It's connected me with my people, I guess.
That's the joy of what we do, because we have people who have had some quite complicated relationships with their Jewishness over the years, talking about what that means. And I think that's a joy and a privilege of Jew Talking to Me. And certainly the ones that we had recorded that we'll be bringing out after this, they include people who didn't know they were Jewish, or they knew they were Jewish, but their parents made various choices that impact on their Judaism. And everyone's got like a different story is what's interesting. And it's what takes it away from it just being about a religion. And I think that is very joyful in this very difficult time. So I'm pleased that we are going to be bringing out some of the episodes that we've pre-recorded. We're starting to record new ones now. And I'm finding that people want to do it. They want to tell their stories because they want to feel that connection that you're talking about.
Yeah, and it's worth pointing out that some of the episodes that will go out in the next couple of weeks were recorded before October the 7th, which is, again, one of the reasons we paused a little bit before restarting things, not just because of the technical hiccup with Andy's episode, which we are gutted about, but also just giving us, as we said earlier, the breathing space. But in the next few weeks, we will put out some more episodes and you'll see more of us on social media talking about the show and what we've got coming up.
Dad, do you want to end this?
Yeah, sure. I was going to say at that point, well, thanks very much for listening. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Jew Talking without the G. See, I've remembered it. I've never even said it before. Yeah, we'll see you soon. Thank you very much and take care.
Jew Talking to Me was hosted by me, Philip Simon.
And me, Rachel Krieger.
It was produced by Russell Wilkin and judged by our mothers.